Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening and open up to Proverbs chapter number one of the Word of God tonight. Proverbs chapter number one. And Ben, what an incredible job tonight. I appreciate the song, the message of that song. And there's so many that are proud of you, my friend, this tonight. Proverbs chapter number one of the Word of God. For those of you who are visiting with us, this is part three of a series that we've been in now entitled Proverbs, Lessons in Wisdom from Solomon. And tonight we're going to once again look at some big ideas here in these passages of Scripture here in the book of Proverbs and tackle different sections of this book that provide really godly wisdom, provide areas of relationship and discipline and words and how to deal with anger. And some of the big topics of this book is where we want to once again dig in tonight here in this passage of Scripture. So as you find your place here in Proverbs chapter number one, would you please stand with me? And I just want to read one or two verses here, and we're going to continue looking at this passage and continue looking here in Proverbs chapter number one, beginning in verse number one. The Bible says this: "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding," not just to know them and understand and perceive, but watch what it also says, "to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb, the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings." This evening, I want to continue looking at this series and just continuing to understand that in the day and age that you and I live, it's not that we have to know everything, but that you and I ought to want to gain knowledge. We want to continue to look at this passage of Scripture, what we read this morning and on Wednesday night, dig into the Word and allow the Word of God to work on our hearts. You see, the Scripture says a wise man will hear and will increase, watch, knowledge and discretion, and increase learning and understanding, attain counsels, understand a proverb. All of these things, how do we gain this? Well, we gain it from looking, tuning in, listening to, and allowing our hearts to be changed by the Word of God. Let's go to Him in prayer and dive in this passage of Scripture. Our Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you lead and guide and work as you always do. Because, Father, the reason that we are here is to learn from you. Father, if we're showing up just to do the same old, God, we're not interested in that. But we are interested in coming in, taking the Word of God, allowing it to hit our hearts and our lives. And so do that once again tonight. Savior, we love you. Thank you, Father, that you always have us. We are in your care. Lord, work now. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Over the last 2 weeks, we have looked at, number one, the training of Solomon. We have looked at, first of all, the training of Solomon. If you look in your Bible, it says in verse number one, chapter one, verse number one, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. The introduction here to this book contains the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. By and large, we understand the primary human author of the book of Proverbs is Solomon. And we know that the training of Solomon, as we've gone over the last several weeks, the background of Solomon is that Solomon was learning from the best. He was learning from his David father, that throughout the books in Samuel and throughout the books in the book of Psalm, that we see over and over again that David had a humble heart. David had a very repentant spirit. It's not that David lived a perfect life. By no means, David did not live a perfect life. But what I love learning about David, a man after God's own heart, is that David had a very repentant attitude. He had an attitude of God, forgive me, God, heal me, and now God, let me move on from this tribulation, this trouble, and or this sin that has been in my life. And Solomon, no doubt, watched his father, watched David in the way that he spoke, communicated, and served his king, God. But then we also saw that Solomon was learning from the best David, but also from Bathsheba. He was learning from his mother. And you and I gain from this that as we look throughout the Proverbs and see how often it is written about a father, but then also a mother, and how parents, you play a vital role in the next generation. You and I, bringing up kids, or those of you in this room who have grandkids and or great grandkids, you and I have a specific task, and that is not just to live our life and then we just move on, but we also have to live a life that is reaching down, that is training, that is mentoring that next generation. And we understand living in the United States, we have a massive problem across our land. And it's not just dealing with sin, and it's not just dealing with abortion, it's not just dealing with a border, and it's not just dealing with drugs. Can I tell you, where all of this is spawning from is that we have broken down God's design of a family, a mom and a dad, raising, getting married, and clinging to one another, and till death do we part. And then raising up a family. And I understand even in this room, we have those who have been divorced. Please by no means take this message as you are some kind of second class citizen. You're not. But what I am going to continue to preach is that God has a design for the family. And when God designs something, check this out, it's perfect. It works. It's not that you and I should come in and, well, I think we know better than God. I think we can design it better. And what God really means there. And I mean, does it really mean male? Does it really mean female? Does it really mean that they're together? And shouldn't we, you know, hashtag love wins? And shouldn't we be able to have homosexuals and gays and lesbians? And shouldn't we be able to have not even marriage anymore, but just live together? And I think, you know, 2020, grow up, pastor, you know, this old Bible, it's archaic and it's old. Can I just tell you, friend, Jesus Christ, God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the precepts and the concepts that you and I have in this book, they don't retire, they don't get old. They are just as new today as they were yesterday or 100 years ago. God's design for the family works. So we have to get back to the Bible. And David is gleaning from David. He's gleaning from Bathsheba, who had a very rough start. And yet the bitterness did not take over her life, but he watched and he learned, but he also learned from David, Bathsheba, and Nathan. This was his tutor, his benefactor, his friend, and spiritual leader, a wise prophet in his life. And no doubt he encouraged Solomon to memorize the early books of the Bible. And you and I begin to glean even last week that it is vitally important, the friends that we have in our life. The mentors that you and I have, they're there and they ought to be specific. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And that we should have those counselors and those mentors in our life to grow from, not just seasoned or older, but those of our same age, those that are younger, those that are older, those who have been through life. It's vitally important you show a man their friends, and man, you can see their future. And it's vitally important every teenager, young children, look up here for just a moment. The friends that you have in your life, at this stage of life, it's important. Choose friends that are godly. Choose friends that exalt Jesus. Choose friends that are going to be in church, and choose friends that don't mock teachers and mock parents and mock the ways of God. You say, Pastor, what do I do if that's my friend? Either try to encourage them not to, or I'm just going to put it out there because I love you, teenager. Find another friend, because they'll bring you down. The Bible says, Proverbs 27, verse number 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 27 and verse number 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Have a mentor in your life as Solomon did. We've seen, first of all, over the last 7 weeks, the training of Solomon. And as we've looked at this passage, we've in some ways gotten very applicable, especially last week, as we begin to look at how to choose a godly mentor. And through this series, we are going to get a little bit more application, a little bit more down to the nitty-gritty, especially for our families that are in here, the family units that are here. We have those from young kids all the way up to those that are in their 80s. And so for the young Christian, and for those maybe even who want to be this man, who breaks down the word of God and takes it and applies it to the heart, there's some real application that we can get. First of all, the training of Solomon. But secondly, I want us to look at the true wisdom of Solomon. Secondly, the true wisdom of Solomon. You see, Solomon's first objective was to make it possible for us to know wisdom and instruction. Look at verse number 2 and watch the wording here. It says, to know wisdom. To know it, to know, do you know it? To know wisdom, to perceive the words of understanding, then to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, these things that we're going to receive them. Perceive, understand, receive. Watch all the words here. Look at how they build. You see, Solomon, in the true wisdom of Solomon, when we look at the Word of God and when we begin to study his life, we understand, I'm not being mean by saying this, but Solomon really was the ultimate nerd. I mean, this guy was the wisest man to have ever lived. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 29, and Solomon, watch now, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is of the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. He knew it all. This was a man who had great wisdom. He was extremely intelligent. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 16, even Solomon knew that he was the wisest, smartest man that was living at the time. Solomon that we have authored 3 books. The Song of Solomon, when he was young, it's about a passionate romance. He authored much of the book of Proverbs, heavenly rules for earthly living. We understand that he authored Ecclesiastes. This was kind of the conclusion of his life, the conclusion of understanding what life truly is all about. It's an incredible book. And man, and back and forth, and the searching that Solomon had trying to find this happiness. We understand that anything that you wanted to know about anything, Solomon was going to be able to tell you. He authored 300 Proverbs. He was a masterful musician and wrote over 100 psalms and songs. He was an expert in anything that you want to know about plants. He was an expert in botany. He was an expert in dendrology. You would ask about a leaf, or you'd ask about a tree, or you'd ask about how long this has been around. He was going to be able to tell you anything about zoology. You want to know about an animal. You want to know about where it came from, and you want to know what region it would live in. He would be a master at it. Or theology, anything to know about birds, he was going to know how heavy their feathers were and how light they were and where they would go for the winter and for the summer and what colors they were, and he would know their names. In theology, you want to know anything about fish and where they are and how to catch them and this and that, and he was going to be a master of it. He says in Ecclesiastes, this is what he was searching for. He wanted to know everything about everything. It drove him. Solomon strove and dove and would dive in, and knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. He desired, understand, to know wisdom, and he desired to know understanding, instruction. And the Bible leaves us with wisdom. And so therefore, you and I, if we look at the true wisdom of Solomon, and if we begin to make application to our life, you and I ought to desire the same. You and I ought to be hungry for the very word of God. Not just watch very carefully. This is where we're going to turn it a little bit here, but follow the thought process. You and I, it's not just going through and learning and taking from the word so that we just have that, the word. It's not just, well, jumping in and just having knowledge. Knowledge is great and good. But I want to ask us, Cross Point Baptist family, what does that knowledge do? How does the lost world benefit from the knowledge that you and I have? Congratulations. When I was young, this is a true story. I used to say all the books of the Bible in under 22 seconds. Are y'all not impressed by that? I thought I'd get an applause or something. Like, I mean, I was, thank you very much. I think that was pretty incredible. Under 22 seconds, say, Pastor, do it now. I said, I used to could, okay? And not anymore, but knowledge. Okay, great. You can say the books of the Bible and under all of them, 66 and under 22 seconds. Okay, great. That's wonderful. You have all of the Romans Road memorized. Man, that's good. Congratulations. But how does that knowledge help others? At times, even in our churches, we are good about diving deep and coming up dry. We're good at leaning dry. Yes, Pastor, boy, I'm telling you, let's just dive into Revelation. I want to know all about Revelation. Yeah, I love Revelation too, and I've been reading it here recently, and we're going to dive into a series, and it's probably going to be towards the end of this year, and man, I love diving in and understanding Revelation, but let me ask you, how does that knowledge help others? What are we doing with the knowledge that we come in? Can I tell you? We have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. We have 4 services in 7 days. Are we growing? Yeah, we're growing. Boy, I'm telling you, I've learned so much. Okay, but even looking at Proverbs, how are we going to apply this? 1 Corinthians chapter 8 of verse number 1. Now listen to the word here. Now as touching the things offered unto idols, we know that all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. You see, even Paul understood that knowledge alone, without the love of God in the heart, can only serve to puff us up. There are many that walk around, and I'm Dr. So-and-so, and I've got this many degrees, and boy, I'm this, and I'm that, and look at all the degrees on my own. Look how awesome I am. That's good, and that's great that you've got all that knowledge. But you know, Paul said, look, without love, it means nothing. There's a pastor, Dr. Adams, out of Kansas City, said it this way, and I quote, frankly, there's a great deal of Bible study that goes on today in this country, and not much genuine movement for God. There are so many puffed up Christians. Many churches bear more of a resemblance to a French bakery than the body of the blood washed believers. How powerful that is. Oh, we come together. Oh, we got knowledge. Oh, we do it right. Boy, I'm telling you, see the church down the street, they don't have the pastor we got. They don't worship the way we do. They don't have the verses memorized like we got. Let me tell you something, friend. I'm not interested in just coming in and having a competition with every church in the area or around the globe. I'm here to tell you, you and I ought to want to meet and to gain knowledge and take that knowledge and do something with it. May you and I have a desire to learn for the purpose of putting it in action. That means this, doing something with it. Solomon had a hunger and he had a thirst, and may you and I as Christians living today, may we have the same. May you and I dig into the word of God and be hungry and thirsty for it. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Watch now, for they shall be filled. Now, hold on. This is where I think we really, in a lot of ways, become very, I'm just going to say it, religious. Here's where all of a sudden we hear pastor and, oh, that's good, pastor. And yeah, I'm in my Bible every single day. I'm in my Bible for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. But do you meditate? Do you and I study? Do we strive to gain? Do you and I, as the Bible says, hunger and thirst? Are we filled? And if we are, what are we doing with it? Are we really, as the Bible says, proving all things? See, I think devotions are good and great. I will always teach and preach it. We've seen it in junior church since we're little. Read your Bible. Pray every day, and you'll say it out loud. Like, grow, grow, grow. Carrie, we're not the only ones that sing that song. Come on. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Some of you are just saved. You're like, oh, these people are a cult. What in the world? Okay. It's a little song we used to sing. We'll grow. I'm always going to say, but hold on, hold on. Why have devotions if we're not learning and then putting into practice what the Lord has taught us? The Bible says here to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to get subtly the simple of young, knowledge and discretion. Verse number 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So let's, for the next couple of moments, let's just stop for a minute right here. And if we're going to look at the true wisdom of Solomon, how do we do this? How is it that you and I gain? If we're going to be in our Bible, if we're truly going to learn, okay, then what is the next step? Whether you've been saved, Pastor Defoe, for 60 plus years, or maybe you are just saved in the last 6 weeks. Okay, so we're on different spectrums here, but then how do we come to the Word of God that is the same and has been the same, especially the Bible that you and I have in our hand? If we believe that this is the Word, how somebody saved for 60 years, read the same passage of Scripture as somebody has been saved for 6 weeks, and both of them grow, both of them gain? Does it seem possible? That almost seems impossible. But I want us to comprehend for a moment that the Bible says this, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We get more out of the Bible when we let more of it get into us. The Bible says that it is profitable. Profitable, the word here, is a good word. It is a word that lifts up. It's edification. It's good. It is useful. When you and I dive into the Word of God, the Word of God in our daily devotions, or we come in and hear the pastor, we're in a life stage group and our teacher begins to teach us, or we're into a podcast, or we're watching something via live stream. Okay, when the Word of God is open and you and I dive into it, what is it profitable for? Well, we understand from this passage of Scripture, it lists several things. But when you and I begin to really dig into it, it is profitable to, you ready for this? Change us. The Word of God, listen, is a powerful book. D.L. Moody said it this way, the Scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Word of God has the power. It is profitable to change you and I. I said it 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again tonight. Never stop growing. May you and I never come to a point where, well, I've reached it all, I've heard it all, I've read it all, and I read through the Bible 3 times a year, and I really have anything that I really grow from. And can I tell you, friend, if you're diving in the Word and the Word of God's not talking to you, either check up or you're not saved. Because this Word has the power that it doesn't matter how long we've been saved, it has the power to change us. It can change the vilest of sinner. It can change the most of religious. It could change those who are so steeped in, and this is who I am, this is where I'm going to be in, and nobody is going to change me. Just a moment, friend. Let me tell you, this book is powerful. This book will tear you and I down and then build us up more in the likeness, not of man, not of religion, not of what I think, not of what my parents, grandparents, great ancestors, the televangelists know. This Bible has the power to build us and give us a foundation so that you and more and I are like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's it profitable for? Well, it's profitable to change us. But when we dig into the Word of God, it's profitable to, you ready for the wording here? Convict us. It has the power to convict. I think what is truly missing in a lot of our churches today is we're almost afraid of conviction. Friend, conviction is a good thing. Conviction ought to be cherished and hung on to. Mark Twain, not exactly a diehard Christian, but he wrote these words. Listen very carefully, and I quote, "Most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture they do not understand. But the passages that bother me the most are the ones that I do understand." The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints of the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This Bible has the power to get in us and to work us over. I said it Wednesday night. Oftentimes I hear from those that say, "Man, Pastor, you really stepped on my toes." And I often correct them and say, "It was not the pastor that stepped on your toes. It's the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's a two-edged sword. We're not playing around. This isn't a Nerf war. This is a spiritual war. There's winners and there's losers. There's righteousness and there's darkness." And I think it's high time in our churches, in our pulpits, we understand this is not a game. We're not playing church. We're not coming here and, "Oh, let's just entertain each other. Brother so-and-so, come on, got anything to say? Oh, we don't, okay. Let's just sing a bunch and have a good time and kind of hang out." Can I tell you, friend, there are even pastors, I'm not judging, Pastor Fo maybe did this, or Pastor Fitzgerald. And if you did, I don't know if you did, but I have never come to a place where we have just sang and sang and sang. We had this worship service. I got up and said, "Well, I think we're good. I mean, we got enough tonight." Maybe we did, but I think we're good. Let's just stop it right there and pray and head on out. No, hold on. It is the foolishness of preaching that is going to change hearts. It is the very word of God that is going to get in our hearts and our lives. And no matter what age we are, whether we're at the end of our life or whether we're like those seniors that stood up here this morning, friend, may I tell you, we ought to have a hungering and a thirsting for the word of God. Why? Because it changes us and it will convict us. But you know, more than that, it will coach us. Coach us. The Bible says in Hebrews 2 and verse number 1, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." We understand and we know from sports that a coach is there. Well, a coach is there to help you. Where's Coach Shell? Is Coach Shell here? He might be out in the hall. Hey, Coach Shell, come here real quick, if you don't mind. We need to rehearse this, but hey, let's just go with it for just a moment. Now, the Word of God, if we're in it, Coach Shell, the Word of God is going to change us. That's correct. Would you agree with that? And it's going to convict us. Is that correct? Yeah. Amen. But it's also going to coach us. Now, what do you coach here at our school?
Soccer and girls basketball.
Soccer and girls basketball. So, Coach, again, we have not rehearsed this, so there's no wrong answer, but try to follow here. Coach, what is your main goal as a coach?
Growth.
So if it's growth, how do you get, and just pretend I'm, let's not pretend I'm a girl. Let's pretend we're playing soccer, okay? I'm out there. I'm on the boys' soccer team. And we're not going to be all, we're not woke around here, okay? So anyways, I'm going to play soccer. But I don't know soccer. And so how are you going to help me grow?
We're going to stop you from doing the wrong things. Oh. We're going to let you see the right things. And we're going to rep.
Okay, so Gary, turn me up here a little bit so everybody can hear him. Say that one more time. Listen to this. Watch this.
We're going to stop doing the wrong things.
Okay.
We're going to let you see the right things. And we're going to rep it out. We're going to keep doing it over and over.
Keep doing it over and over. Yeah. Do you understand? Coach sports. Coach life. We didn't rehearse that, but I'm telling you what, that was good. It's going to go viral. It's going to go viral. This, I get the check, okay? I get the money. It's my nets. I threw it in, okay? You had to be here this morning. But nonetheless, coach is what we get from this word. And I'll be honest, Coach Yell, I almost feel irreverent saying that because the Bible is so much more than a coach. To be honest with you, it's everything. It's a parent, it's a grandparent, it's a coach. It is powerful. And the Bible that I hold in my hand, may I tell you, friend, this is alive. So if we're looking at the true wisdom, thank you, coach. If we're looking at the true wisdom, and we understand that the word of God, it's profitable. And it's profitable for a lot of things, but we've only covered three. I could cover 100, 200 more. But for time's sake, let's just start with these. So how do we really gain? Now, here's where I want us to really tune in. We got a lot of kids in here. So all the kids in here, all the shepherd kids. Kids, I want you to tune in here and watch this for just a moment. Miguel and Brandon back here. And look all the way back at Justin and Braden. And let me look all the way around the room. Now watch this very carefully. London, you're right there. Awesome. How do you, if somebody tells you to read the Word of God, what do you do? We're all different. We're going to grow in different ways. But I think this is a lot of times where we have gotten on this religious trail of just making ourselves feel good. There's nothing wrong with feeling good. I love to feel good. But okay, it's not just checking off a duty. It's I really want to get something from the Word. So if it's going to be understanding, if you and I are going to gain this wisdom, if you and I are going to begin in it, what do we do? Well, what I always do is start in John 3 and I read one verse. And then somebody else says, I start in Proverbs, I read 8 chapters. And I start in Psalm, I read a psalm a day. A psalm a day keeps the devil away. And I start over here and we've heard all these things. We have the Baptist bread and the daily bread. And we've got our devotional that comes in on our app, on our phone. And we got this and we got that. Okay, hold on. Wait. So are we really gaining knowledge? And if we are, what are we doing with it? That's the question. But before we can do anything with it, we have to gain. And so for just a moment, I just want to take a couple minutes and I want you to watch. Here's how an easy way that I was taught a long time ago of how to dive into a passage of Scripture and observe the things that are in front of you. Whether you're reading in John or Luke, if you're in the Gospels, or perhaps you're in the Pauline epistles, or you're going back to the Pentateuch, you're going back to the first books of the Bible. Okay, no matter where you're at, here is a very applicable way to gain from the Word of God. And that is by observation. It's looking at a passage of Scripture, and then here are some things that you're going to do. First of all, these aren't up on the board. If you want these later, I'll email them to you so you don't have to worry about taking notes. But here's what you look for. First of all, is there sin to confess? When you're reading a passage of Scripture, is the Word of God convicting us? Have we asked God, what is it that I need to change? The further one goes down from the source, the more polluted the water. You see, comprehend, listen now, watch. The further one goes down from the source, the more polluted the water. This book, watch now, one pastor said it this way, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. John said it like this, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is looking at the Word of God and diving in and saying, okay, God, speak to me. An observation. Is there sin to confess? Secondly, is there a promise to claim? When you're looking at the Word of God, you're going to say, okay, I'm observing the Word. And here's what I'm going to do. Sin to confess. All right. Second question. Is there a promise that can be claimed? You can't break God's promises by leaning on them. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 4, and verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind. Watch, how do we do it? Through Christ Jesus. These are promises that will never be broken. And God's promises in the Word, they will never change. Listen very carefully. You ever get tired of people saying something and then they change? You ever have a spouse change their mind? You ever had a politician? Oh, when I get in office, here's what I'm going to do. And they never do it. Liars. Ever had somebody that, oh, no, I promise you. Boy, I promise you. You ever had a contractor? No, I promise you, I'm going to be at your house at about 9 o'clock. What day? Because it's like you're a week late. You never text, you never called. Oh, I promise. No, this time. I promise you this time. Hold on. Can I just tell you, people break promises, but God's word never does. Is there sin to confess? Is there a promise to claim? Is there, watch this, number 3, is there an example to follow? Hebrews chapter 11, for time's sake, I don't have time to dig in there, but those are voices from the grandstands. And what are they saying? They're giving us this incredible faith. They're giving us this foundation of look at this person, look at this person, look at this person. Everybody is looking for someone to be an example. Look in the Word of God and find examples there. It's incredible. We look at Daniel and the example of prayer, or Elijah and standing against wickedness, or Noah and obedience, David and faith, and Joshua with his might, Stephen with his preaching, and Jesus with his compassion, Joseph with his wisdom, and Paul with his soul winning, the disciples and selling out for God. Are there examples in the Word of God from a character or from a precept? Is there something there that, again, it's coaching me, it's helping me, it's guiding me? Is there an example to follow? But also, letter next, is there a command to obey? That means this: what does God want me to learn here? Is this going to make me more like Christ? I preach this so often. I want to continue to preach that when you and I gather, this is not Eagledale. This is not Cross Point. This is not Pastor Shepherd. This is not just, well, the way we've always done it. This is not the way that's new. Hold on. When we come in this place, there ought to be one thing that you and I have as a guide and are following, and it has to be the Word of God. When we get away from this, we're in big trouble, friend. When we get away from this, we might as well go down to the Catholic Church, because we're playing. We're not worshiping, we're not praising, we're not growing, we're not learning, we're not gaining, we're not changing to be more like Him. In the Word of God, are there commands? Do you ever run across something all of a sudden, ooh, man, I've never seen that before. How, but you know what, I don't know, let's just tear this page out. We don't need that. This must mean for, you know, somebody else. This is not for me. That's kind of old. Hold on. If the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, begins to convict you, listen to it. Ask yourself, when you open up that page, when you dive into that book, man, I've been reading in 1 Peter, in 1 Peter there, are there some commands that I can obey? Can I grow from this? And then jump in, study it out. These commands to obey, but then also ask yourself, is there a stumbling block to avoid for me, for others who see me, for those who are around me? The Bible says in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch. Dive into His Word. Is there a stumbling block that I can avoid? Is there something in the Word of God that is convicting me? I had a meeting with all of our staff on our summer staff that's going to be here through the summer in the offices. And I don't know, there's about 11 or so of us. And man, as we all came in, it was not a reprimand at all. But there were some things that we covered and went over that were really, hey, there's some things we need to be very careful of. There's some things with safety around here, and there's some reminders of, you know, lock doors and shut, make sure nobody falls in, but all those kind of things. But then there were other things that we don't need as a stumbling block. There's things that we have to be careful of. Now begin to go through those, and once again, just be reminded, oh, we're not going to counsel a man and a woman, male and female, in a room alone with the door shut. And if we have other people here, we're going to have doors open, and we're going to be careful, and we're going to, oh, Pastor Shepherd, good night. Don't you know your staff? Don't you know those who are here? And man, they're trustworthy, and they're good people, and they're good Christians. Let me tell you, I agree with you 100%. But the Bible says, take heed lest ye fall. We're going to be careful. And you and I, we've got to look at the Word of God and realize, man, Satan's got some stumbling blocks out there. He's got some things that you and I got to be careful of. Read the Word of God and open it up. Observe it. It's not original by me, but what I just gave you spells out the word specs. S-P-E-C-S. You know what that is? Spectacles, glasses. When you put it on and you dive into his word and you begin to ask these questions, what does God do? He begins to teach you. You begin to understand. You begin to change. But church, here's what I'm going to be done with tonight. It's not just to gain, but it's to give. It's not just to jump in and, oh, I got this, and boy, it's good. Again, praise the Lord. I think one of the best things that you and I could do, you ready for this, is to memorize scripture. Amen. Pastor Michelle, I'm not the best at it. I'll just be honest. Something I want to grow in at the end of one of John Getch's books. He's got a way that, and I might get asked for permission to copy that and send it out. And I tell you, it shows you an easy way of how to memorize scripture. Well, I just don't have a great memory. I can't remember what I did yesterday. Can I tell you something, friend? I have been with those. Carrie is my witness. Those who have had Alzheimer's or what's the other disease, Brother Jim? Dementia. And Pastor Fo, I have been by their hospital bed, and they didn't know who their kids were, who their grandkids were. They didn't know where they were. But I have been there, and they started quoting scripture. Let me tell you, it's powerful. Families, if we're going to make it in this world, we've got to get in the Word of God. Gentlemen, I'm going to ask us this evening as men, man, when we take our families to this altar and just once again, maybe make a vow, take it that serious. But I'm going to ask us, men, let's take our families. Hey, let's dive into this word. Family, grandkids, husbands, wives, for all of our teenagers that are here, and even those that look around this room, Austin and Aaron and so many others, Aaron, I mean, you're going to Bible college, but can I tell you, Aaron, you got to have the word just like the rest of us. Coach Shell, you need it, and I need it to gain that wisdom, to understand it, the knowledge. Are we hungry for it? Ladies, moms, when's the last time? College students, we just gathered at the altar and just said, God, I want to be in your word more. I want to dive in. Denny, I know you're going through Proverbs right now, and in-depth studies doing, he's been sharing it with me. Denny, may we all have that thought, that process. God, I want more. I'm hungry for it. I desire it. I want it. And let's dive in it together.